Welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody, and how are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Welcome to a day of inspiration. So I did a little thinking about what I wanted to offer you guys today as we are amidst the 28-day challenge and following my episode of Real-Time Heal on Myself. And I decided that today is a day of inspiration. So let's start at the beginning. After we finished the summer series, I wanted you guys to be motivated to do this work. So we started a 28-day challenge, and I am doing it alongside you. So is Lisa, my partner and producer, who I introduced you to a couple episodes ago. We're doing it, and like, we're really doing it, guys. Like, we're not missing a day. We're really dedicating ourselves. So anyway, in the midst of that 28-day challenge, I had a bit of a TMS attack. And that was the subject of my podcast last week, which was my real-time heal on myself. So as that went on and I watched my body respond to the work, and then I heard from so many of you on SpeakPipe about how you are also doing the work and some amazing success stories from work that has been done in the past year or two, I decided today was going to be an episode of inspiration because we all need it. One of the pieces of the episode, which I will put in later on, will be a replay of a portion of a best of, and that is miracle stories. The reason I'm adding that here and replaying it as part of this podcast is because over COVID, I got really, really into the work of Ram Dass, his guru Maharaji, all the Indian masters and Hinduism and Buddhism. I was just really fascinated in studying that stuff. And with these Indian masters who are healers, who are helping people heal from, you know, whatever afflictions they were dealing with in terms of mostly at the time spiritual afflictions, you know, needing some hope and some guidance. What they said is, we do miracles because we need to give you what you want, which is to be, you know, full of wonder and awe and inspiration and, you know, a reason to carry on. We give you what you want, so you will want what we give. Because what these Indian masters were really giving was a recipe for really hard work, a life well lived, you know, left foot, right foot, breathe, chop wood, carry water, serve your family, serve yourself, serve your spiritual practice. You know, these are not easy ways to live. We struggle and it's hard. And what I want to give you with an open hand and an open heart is the instruction manual for doing this work. It's allowing you to know what you need to do, give you the toolkit you need to do it, and then inspire you to keep going even when it's hard. So that's what I give. But I know what you really want, what everybody really wants, which is we want a magic pill. We want an injection. We want to give away our power to a doctor and have them wave a magic wand and make us better. We want miracles. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, we just do. And so I love that phrase. I give you what you want, so you'll want what I give. And so today, in that spirit, we're going to do some inspirational talk. I'm going to play you a beautiful SpeakPipe I received from Catherine, who gave me a reason to celebrate. Thank you, Catherine. I love a reason to celebrate. And then we'll finish up with that clip from Miracle Stories so you guys know what I'm talking about when I refer to that. So let's start with me. So I came to you last week. I was in the midst of a real TMS flare, something I hadn't had in many years. And I just doubled down with doing the work. I practice all three facets of my work, which are believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. In terms of believe, immediately when my back and my neck seized up, upper back, by the way, you can go back and listen to the previous podcast, Real Time Heal with me, if you're curious. When I started feeling that, instead of getting, you know, terrified or full of meaning or, you know, so completely bereft, that I couldn't bring myself to do anything, I said, yes, this is annoying, but I know what it is. I've got a lot going on right now. I've kicked up my emotions with the 28-day challenge because obviously they needed to come up. You know, one of the things that I want to make sure you understand is I'm not saying that by doing the work, I regret it because, oh, I started the 28-day challenge and look, I got some TMS. No, this is perfect. Our pain is an invitation that brings us to the precipice of the truths that have been awaiting our acknowledgement. We need it. Whether we want it or not is not always our choice. Our nervous system doesn't ask our permission or ask our opinion before it protects us. So I got this flare up and I took to the page. I took to the work. I took to my meditation practice and to patience and kindness for myself, saying it'll go when it goes. And by the time I recorded the podcast, it already had gone from, I think, like a 10 to a 4 or a 5. I don't remember the number I gave it. And now as you speak to me today, just about one week later, it's completely gone. Like I am moving my arms, I'm moving my neck back and forth. I mean, maybe the slightest tinge of an ache that says this is something that we had that is on its way completely out. But I mean, I'm at a zero. I'm at a zero to 0.5. I'm completely great. And so, you know, that's what happens. And I'm telling you guys, it was bad. It was really bad. I was in tremendous pain. Could barely turn my head. So that's one little, I mean, wouldn't call it a miracle story per se, because I did like really hard work and it didn't go away in a second. But you know, that's what we're doing here. That is what we're doing here. And so I am the first example, and I hope you guys are all doing the 28-day challenge. If you are not, start anytime. Just do this for yourself. Go to my YouTube channel and watch my video. The 28-day challenge is here. You know, read the free resources on my website. So much to do. Okay, so there is that. And now I want to bring you Catherine's SpeakPipe. So inspiring to me. I completely loved hearing her. The way she laid it out is just really beautiful. Catherine, you did a really nice job. Thank you. If any of you guys have success stories or things to celebrate, please www.speakpipe.com/NicoleSachs. Tell me your stories. Share yourselves with me. Tell me where you struggle. Tell me where you triumph. Tell me your question. You know, we're still going to put in speak pipes throughout this process of also producing our you know, another exciting format. So we've got so much going on. Okay. Without further ado, I give you Catherine, and we are going to then go right into the other miracle stories, and I hope you enjoy them. All right. Lots of love, guys. See you next week.
Hi, Nicole. This is Catherine. I just listened to whichever podcast it was that you asked us to give you some things to celebrate. And I had to send you a speak pipe, which I haven't felt called to do this summer yet. I'm going to say suffered from chronic head pain, neck pain, migraines for 7 years at least. And when I say 7 years, I literally had maybe 2 days a month where I didn't have debilitating head pain. I was lucky and able to continue working, but I did spend a lot of time at home resting. And I had every injection under the sun. I spent hours and hours and hours in physical therapy with 6 different providers who all thought they could do different things. Dry needling, acupuncture. And I really found nothing that gave me any more than like 20 minutes of relief. So I started journaling and listening to your podcasts and attending some of your online retreats. And I can say now that I very occasionally have a headache, not a migraine. I do feel my neck from time to time, but I go, oh, what message are you giving me? Oh, yeah, I'm feeling stressed about that. Better journal about it. So I think that's a cause for celebration in itself. And I'm super, super happy. Oh, I want to add, I do have symptoms that are traveling around my body. But on the whole, I am like your real-time heal people will say, I'm like 80, 90% better. So that's huge. So I thank you for showing me the way. Have a great day.
Okay, so let's talk about what got me motivated to make this podcast today. So a little bit of what has happened to myself and the thousands and thousands of people with whom I have interacted with over the years, it feels like the word miracle. And I've always kind of balked at the word miracle because I feel like it, first of all, has a religious connotation and I don't associate with any specific religion, both personally and professionally. I have a deep spirituality that kind of pulls from a lot of different schools of thought, but really, really is grounded in my own personal connection with my higher power and the way that's manifested in my life. And that's just personal for me. However it goes for you is yours. But so I don't associate with religion. And so kind of miracle has kind of been rough for me there. And then also the word miracle feels like it's about a power that's outside of you doing something to you. So that's another reason why the word miracle has kind of been a little touchy for me. Having said that, when I look at the things that have happened in my own life, I know that they're nothing short of miraculous. And then I hear from all of you guys around the world and your incredible stories. My God, they blow me away. They humble me. They fill my heart. And they're miraculous. You know, to hear, and many, many of them have been illustrated on this podcast. They've been commemorated by people coming on and telling these stories for all of you to hear. So if you're new to the podcast, go back into the archives, story after story after story of people's lives being incredibly and miraculously changed. You know, when I think about, and I get these emails a lot, so this is not an unusual occurrence. When I think about somebody writing to me and saying, I was in such despair, I was in such pain, I was in such fear, I was in such despair that I wasn't sure I could continue my life. I thought to myself, I can't make it this far anymore, and I'm potentially going to take my life. I've heard this story so many times. People, there's one story, and I think it's on this podcast. I forget who was telling me that she was Googling ways to take her life with her husband and her daughter watching TV on the other couch. Like, this is really, really deep, very, very painful human stuff that I have been witness to. And I am so grateful for being parts of your story. And those people found my work. They were on Google, they were wherever having a deep dive, and they came across either my work or Dr. Sarno that brought me to my work, or potentially Curable that brought them to my work. And then they contacted me months later, full of life, full of love, back to work, back to everything, pregnant, getting married, starting a new job, whatever. And they're like, I don't have chronic pain in my life anymore. I mean, that's a fucking miracle, guys. It's a miracle because as soon as we understand, and this is where I kind of have trouble with the word miracle because it's really not a miracle. It's brain science. It's incredibly scientific, which could be the opposite of the word miracle. As soon as these people understood that they actually weren't in danger, were able to do the work to convince their brains and their nervous systems they weren't actually in danger, their whole system switched from fight or flight to rest and repair, which is what always happens when your nervous system no longer perceives danger. All their symptoms went away. All their chronic symptoms went away. Of course, there's no cure for human pain. They still feel things. So do I. But I'm talking about chronic pain, chronic fear, chronic worry, chronic anxiety, gone. Gone, 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 because the brain is no longer fighting to defend you from your repressed emotions. Whew, it's so big. It's so big. My whole body starts to just have like big feelings, big energy comes from having these conversations because it's so huge. And so that's miraculous. So I was thinking about, so one of the things I do in my spiritual journey is I study mystic literature and I study teachers that really speak to me. Most of you have heard me talk about Ram Dass, huge, huge influence on my journey, my personal journey. And sometimes it spills over into this professional journey, but very personal for me. And one of the things he talks about when he talks about his journey through India and meditation and his own awakening and enlightenment was working with teachers who had powers. In India, it's called siddhis, and their powers to do things that an average person would see as miraculous. But the funny thing about the miracle stories that are told out of India is they're seen as very low brow, very low vibe, kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this, but this isn't really what this is about. And so Ram Dass would talk about, you know, people that can move things with their mind or could know intimate details about you that there's no way they could have known. You know, these are miracles. And what I love that he says is the teacher would say to him, I give them what they want, so they'll want what I give. And I really relate to that because what I really want to give you is sort of lame. What I want to give you is, hey, person, you have the power to completely and utterly transform your life, but it's going to be hard work and it's going to require you to, you know, step over your resistance and it's going to require you to journal and to meditate and to go into your darkest room and turn on the light and to face the things that you have denied for years and to go to your inner child and wrap them in your arms and to confront things that you haven't want to think or talk about. So that's not fun. You guys don't want that. So I give you, when I can, what you want so you'll want what I give. And what you want is beautiful success stories. And what you want is me saying you're going to be okay, because you are. And the success stories are true, so they're here. And the miracle stories are here. And I want to give them to you, because I want to give you what you want so you'll want what I give, because what I give is spinier than you'd prefer. Because I know you'd prefer to take a pill or give away your power, and you might be sitting there being like, well, I wouldn't, but you know what? A lot of people would, and I used to be. I definitely used to be wanting to give away my power because my power felt too impossible for me to enact. And so I was like, let me give it to a doctor. Let me give it to a pill. Let me give it to a massage therapist or a physical therapist or someone. Please, please, please take my power and just fucking fix me because that's what I want. And it didn't work because it never works, guys. I'm not saying that those things aren't great. They can be great when fueled by love and not fear, but the essential transition from fight or flight to rest and repair in your nervous system must be done by you. Your perception is your reality until you do what you need to do to feel viscerally safe. And I teach it all. Go to my website if you're curious about what the hell I'm talking about, thecureforchronicpain.com. I teach it all, but it's hard work. It's simple, but it's not easy. The concept is simple, but the work is not easy. However, it is enduring, it is beautiful, and it will heal you. And I have confidence in that. Even you, not just her, not just him, you. Okay, so I still want to give you the miracle stories because first of all, they're fun. And second of all, they are real and true, capital T true, because today I'm going to tell you a couple that happened to me. And third of all, they are necessary because, you know, there are three facets of my work. Believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And believe has to do with you really understanding that this stuff works. And so miracle stories can help with that. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is ocular migraines. So if you don't know what an ocular migraine is, it is a migraine. So it's a severe headache that begins with something called photosensitivity, which means I know that things manifest differently in all people, but for me, the way ocular migraines manifest is that I The first sense I have when I'm getting one is it looks like I'm like, how can I explain it? It's like I'm looking around and I'm not seeing properly. It just looks around everything. I'm not quite, can't really define it yet. It's not like things are blurry, but something feels off. I get it. Like something registers to me that something feels off, and it takes like two beats for me to be like, oh man, this is happening. As I start to do the all man, this is happening, within about 15 minutes of that, I get it looks like someone flashed a major flash bulb in my eye. And as I start to blink, it's usually my left eye, it starts to become obscured the way it would if somebody flashed a flash bulb in your eye, and I can't see properly out of one of my eyes. And that lasts, I would say, about 15, 20 minutes. If I close my eyes and lay down while it's happening, it's less distracting and less, painful or just uncomfortable. And then that actually goes away completely. And then I just get somewhere between a moderate and a bad headache that lasts for like a couple hours. You know, I'll usually take like an Excedrin migraine. This is the story. I just want to explain to you what the headache is. So the first time I ever got one of these, I was either 13 or 14 years old. I was babysitting for a little girl who was very difficult. She was maybe 4 years old. She was very challenging, and I was young. I was only 10 years older than her. And the mother who – no, it wasn't the mother. It was my grandmother who was coming to visit, was wearing very strong perfume before I went over. So I thought, in my perception, the perfume had been the trigger. I 100% don't believe it is. And people often think that smells trigger them, and we can talk more about that. But that was what I thought was the trigger. So anyway, I'm at this little girl's house, and this crazy thing starts happening to me. And if it never happened to you before, it really freaks you out. I mean, I couldn't see. And so I really panicked, but I didn't want to call my parents. This is also probably part of my childhood, whatever you want to call it, trauma, damage. I didn't feel like I didn't feel comfortable that I could ask anyone for help. And so I just kind of suffered through it, and I got this horrible headache. The first time I got it, it was really debilitating. And I just remember like just counting the minutes till these parents came home, which of course they finally did. And so over the years, I would get them, but very rarely. I would say I would get one to two a year. And when I got them, I stopped being so scared of them, but it was always a super bummer because when I got them, I had this sort of decision that it was going to ruin my whole day. And that's what I left. I lived in that kind of tacit certainty that it was going to ruin my whole day. So as I got older, I went through my whole chronic pain journey. I did all the Sarno stuff. I even figured out, and I've told this story many times, even sitting on the Sarno panel, that the persistent headaches that I used to get, which were unrelated to these ocular migraines, I just also used to get persistent headaches. When I realized those were TMS, I got rid of those with the mind-body work. I never get those anymore. So all of my whatever I would call chronic pain had gone away, but these ocular migraines persisted. Not a lot, not often. But when they would come, I would have that same defeatist kind of attitude, which is, all right, well, this is here, and now my day is altered / ruined. And so about 2 years ago, I got an ocular migraine, and same jam. You know, I laid down for the photosensitivity part. I popped a couple Excedrin migraine. Maybe I, you know, didn't have such a full schedule that day. Maybe I don't actually remember, but it was like kind of like any other day. And I know that I was going through a time of very big feelings, because I remember acknowledging that at the time. Well, you know, this is no surprise. I still knew, by the way, that that ocular migraines were TMS. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing, I never thought anything was wrong with me, and I didn't fear them, but they super bummed me out. Okay. So the feeling wasn't fear, but it was definitely like, oh, really? You know, it was that kind of feeling. Knew it was TMS, felt somewhat powerless, this is important, to alter having them, because even though I could journal and whatever, it wasn't like this was some persistent back pain or anything that I had to quote unquote get rid of. This was something that would hit me out of left field. I would never know it was coming. And, you know, we can't necessarily completely drain all the stress from our lives. We have stressful freaking lives, you know, it's life. So I felt powerless over them. So I got this one, and it was pretty bad, and it altered my day. And I woke up the next morning,
And usually I feel well by the time I go to bed. It doesn't take me out for more than the day. I woke up the next morning and I'm in the mirror in my bathroom, you know, doing whatever, getting ready for my day. And I start to blink and I freaking notice that one day later, you have to realize I usually get these once or twice a year, I'm having one again. And I had, this is part of the miracle story, this whoosh of no more. It was like a voice that came up through my solar plexus into my heart and out of my mouth that said, nope, no freaking way. We're not doing this one day later. Because once I start getting on the train where I feel powerless and I'm letting my nervous system take the reins with joyful certainty that I need protection from my big feelings or whatever reason that this was happening one day later, I was like, nope. And I had been getting ready on the way to go to the grocery store. Okay, this is why I was getting ready to leave the house. And I remember thinking, I have 15 minutes. I have 15 minutes until, because it always happens the same way, this photosensitivity is too obstructive for me to drive. And I threw on my clothes and I'm sort of disoriented, but I don't think I was being unsafe. I could, and the grocery store is like a mile from my house. And I was like, I can get there. I can do this because I will not let this stop me because F this, no way. I'm not getting in this pattern. I'm giving you the feeling in my voice right now so you can understand the certainty with which I was like, no. Got in my car. Drove to the store. By the time I get into the store, it's on. I mean, I can barely see. It was honest, and I'm laughing at myself. I'm just allowing the absurdity of the moment to take over. And I'm like, nope, sorry. Nervous system, brain, I love you so dearly. We're not doing this anymore. I know that I have allowed myself to be powerless over this. I know I've allowed myself to live in whatever fear, despair, resignation. No more. So I just held on to my cart and I walked around the store and I kind of did like a Popeye. I closed my eye and I tried to like figure out what items I wanted to pull off the shelf and I put them in my cart and I waited and I walked around for a good 15, 20 minutes. And as always happens, the photosensitivity left. I could see perfectly clearly out of my two eyes and the headache came. And I walked around the store going, yeah, hey, headache. What's the word, mother bird? It's fine with me. We're not doing this anymore, guys. It's all done. And I brought myself from fight or flight to rest and repair in my inability for one more moment to allow this to own me. But the story doesn't end there. Oh, so the day went on. Maybe I took Advil or whatever. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. It went away. And for months, as is more typical, I didn't get it. I didn't get one. And then a few months later, this happened 3 years ago. So maybe about 2 years ago, I was in a meeting. It was an early meeting. It was an 8 a.m. meeting. There were people all around the table from me. There was literature open on the table. You know, we were very engaged in the meeting. And I look down at my book and the words start to swim in front of my eyes. And I'm like, damn. I'm getting one. But this time, I had so schooled my nervous system in the last episode that I was able to so quickly come to where I needed to come. And I said, I'm getting one. And immediately my conscious brain said, but you don't need to. And the second that I'm getting like emotional, I'm sort of a little crying right now because it's so powerful for me. The second I said that, the words in front of my eyes went from swimming to boom, perfectly clear. And I looked up at the poster on the wall, perfectly clear. And this is all happening all personally. No one in the room knows I'm going through anything. And I'm looking at the faces of the people around the meeting who are so engaged in the meeting, you know, we're at the meeting, just being there. And all their faces are crystal clear. And I have not gotten one since. And I promise you, I won't get one again. And should I ever experience that little swim before my eyes again, I will say, hey, kid, no thanks. And it'll go. And that's what happens all the time. That's what happens with lots of symptoms. It's what happens with thousands of people around the world who have let me know how that happens for them. And perhaps you're a person smiling sweetly, listening to this, knowing that it's happened to you. And perhaps you're a person listening to this saying, wow, that makes me curious. And I say to you, it should. And perhaps you're a person who's listening to this and saying, oh, woe is me. That can happen for them, but not for me. And I say, sweet love, yes, it can happen for you. Now, this miracle story does not come in a vacuum. I have been doing this work for years. I have been cultivating my belief. I have been steadfast in my desire to share this message. I have done tons and tons and tons of journal work and inner child work and meditation and excavation. My life is an effort toward this. So it's not that I can just snap my fingers and say this is going to happen for you, but I promise it is available to you. I have watched my body over and over and over again change permanently in response to no longer living in fear. And you can't just choose not to live in fear. There's all sorts of things that I have done, like I just mentioned, in order to cultivate my ability to choose not to live in fear. You know, sometimes I see this work as like a major hike, wherever you're going, you know, wherever the hike is going to take you. So on the road of the hike, there are going to be challenges and you're going to have to pitch your tent and sleep in scary conditions and, you know, make sure you have the right food and the right water. The hike is the journey to excavate enough of your repressed emotional world, to connect enough with your inner child, to do enough of this enlightening work to get you, let's say, to the precipice of a cliff. Okay, let's just go there with this like very sweeping image. We are talking about miracle stories after all. To bring you to the precipice of this cliff. Okay, so you've hiked and hiked and hiked and journeyed and struggled and rejoiced and all the things. And you get to this cliff and you look over, and on the other side of the cliff is this incredible lake, almost like a volcanic lake. And it's just ice blue and it's got flowers and it's so beautiful and it's so amazing. And you know that if you dive into this water, you will be received with absolute pleasure. There's no pain and no suffering. It's not too cold or too hot. There's nothing that could eat you or bite you. It's beautiful. To swim in that water is to swim in joy and contentment and pleasure and peace. And you know that you've gotten there and you can choose that. And that's where I say I can be, when I can, to choose to live in love and not fear. But the reason I get to make that choice to dive into that pool of love is because I have done the hike. So don't feel badly if you're like, well, I'm listening to you, Nicole, and the stories are nice, but I'm terrified all the time. I'm swallowed up by my anxiety. I can't not choose it. And I say, I get it, but it's there. The precipice of that incredible volcanic lake, that pure place of being, which of course we can't live in all the time, but we can dip into it, can't we? It's available to you when you do the journey. And then what happens if you do the journey? What happens if you're me or many or all my Omega instructors or Dan Buglio or all the people who I've worked with, who I interact with, who rise to the level where they start changing their lives and being life coaches and therapists and healers and guides and helping other people through this work, where we live is we have this gorgeous, beautiful encampment that we have built around the precipice of this lake. And anytime we choose, when there gets to be a little too much fear, a little bit too much agita, anxiety, uncertainty, despair, resignation, because we've done the work, we can stand up from wherever we are, walk to the precipice where we're looking into the lake and say, I can choose love, not fear. I don't have to choose that fear. And that happens incrementally with different places in our lives. And the day that I got that migraine on the second day, right after that other one, was the beginning of that choice. And in the meeting, when I said, no, I don't need to get this right now. And those words went from swimming to clear right in front of my eyes. What a miracle. What a moment. What a moment. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. It was incredible. You should have seen my face. I was like, damn, did that just happen? And now I'm free of that one thing. Trust me, there's plenty of things I'm not free from, guys. I am on the road just like you. I am no different than you. I just woke up however many years ago. And so once you wake up, you walk and you walk and you get more and more awake, and you are waking up. You would not be here. Even if you hate my podcast, you wouldn't be listening this long if you weren't waking up. You're here. Look at you. You're right here. So, you know, I know this is a miracle story, and it's not necessarily something that happens to a lot of people, nor is it something that happens every day to me. But it happened, and it's real, and it's the capital T truth. And maybe I can give this to you because you want it, and maybe in turn, you will want what I give, which is an opportunity and an invitation to do some hard freaking work, but real assurance that that work works.